Welcome.
Вітаємо.
Вітайте.
Добро пожаловать.
Welcome.
Sveiki atvykę.
Hwaiying.
Pere tulemast. Deutschland und andere Länder mit Anna Lasoncek. Der erste und einzige Podcast in Deutschland, Österreich und der Schweiz, der sich mit interkultureller Kommunikation beschäftigt, spannende Impulse über fremde Länder liefert, entfernte Kulturen näher bringt und erfolgreiche Menschen mit internationaler Erfahrung interviewt. Heute im Gespräch mit Anna Lasoncek, Dirk Dirn. Dirk Dirn ist Kommunikationstrainer, Universitätsdozent und TEDx-Organisator. Er hat in Brasilien, Deutschland, Großbritannien, Frankreich, den USA und Belgien gelebt und gearbeitet. Bereits in jungen Jahren merkte er, dass die Kulturen unterschiedlich sind. Als ehemaliger Dekan der UBI, anerkannter Partner der Middlesex University London, hält er regelmäßig Gastvorlesungen an Universitäten auf der ganzen Welt, darunter an der Vietnam National University, der Tongji University in China, der Novi Sad University in Serbien und der Clark University in den USA. Als Kommunikationstrainer berät er regelmäßig internationale Unternehmen und öffentliche Institutionen, darunter auch das Europäische Parlament. Dirk ist auch ein Botschafter von TED, der zahlreiche TEDx-Veranstaltungen koordiniert hat, darunter TEDx Luxembourg City mit Videos, die mehr als 10 Millionen Menschen gesehen haben.
Welcome to the first intercultural podcast in Germany, Austria and Switzerland. And I've got a very, very special guest today. It's Dirk Dirn. Hello, Dirk. Great to have you here.
Hi, Anna. Well, it's wonderful for you to give me the time. Thank you.
Yeah, we met a couple of years ago as you were working for UBI Institute in Brussels. And at that time already, I asked you about the TED event because I know that you are an organizer. And that time it was in a small city in Wils. And now you are organizing the event in Luxembourg City. That's a huge thing. So many people are able to share the ideas, and you are contributing and making it possible not only for 1,000 guests last weekend.
Yeah, gosh, Anna, I'm such a TED fan. I really believe that TED, the TED platform, it is by far and away, in my opinion, the best educational platform that's available on the market. I've been in education for a number of years. In fact, gosh, I'm almost embarrassed to say about 17 years now in education. And I find
Yeah, you were teaching at the same institute as I was teaching in Luxembourg, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we taught at the United Business Institutes. But prior to that, I was a teacher also at the Universiteit van Antwerpen in Belgium. And I've taught at universities in China, in Vietnam, in the United States, Serbia, Croatia. So I've really, really, really found a passion in teaching.
I will have a lot of questions about that time you spent abroad.
Okay. But so specifically about TED, I think what's really, really great about TED is the idea that you have these fascinating people who are also experts in their subject area. And they come on stage and they have a maximum of 18 minutes, so typically 15 minutes really. And they come on stage and they have the time for only one good idea. And they present it in a very unique way. You know, they present it in a very typical TED-like manner. And as you know, there have been books written about how to give a good TED talk.
I've been preparing for it.
Yeah, that's it. Well, exactly, Anna. You know very, very well. And so there is a very unique style. And that style is just a really effective way of communicating. So I got interested in TED probably about 7 years ago. Somebody asked me to host a TED event. And it was actually a small university event for a hogeschool, an haute école, so like a college in Brussels, so a place called EHEX. So my first involvement was with TEDx EHEX, and I was the MC between the speakers. And I met these speakers, and I thought, gosh, these are really amazing people. And, you know, I'd love to just sort of surround myself with them. And so I went to a dinner with them afterwards. And I thought to myself, how is it that I can be surrounded by such incredible people? You know what? I'm going to organize my own event. So
that's the best way to, if you want to meet great people, just be of a service and do something for them. And
that's it. I mean, you know, I know that organizing a TED event, it's entirely volunteer work, you know, so, and it is a lot of work. I mean, don't get me wrong, but the payoff really is that you're surrounded by these amazing people. And not only that, actually the audience as well, but you know, I can talk about the audience forever. But so I decided to apply to TED and I got my university license, and we held our first TEDx event at UBI in the small city of Ilz, as you said, in the north of Luxembourg.
Yeah, I can't even imagine, but maybe there will be some people who don't know yet about TED events. So could you name some famous people who just were the most famous speakers at TED event, and what is it about, so that for somebody who doesn't know it yet, just to get a short idea what it is?
Yeah, no, of course. So, and by the way, it's fair that in certain countries, people don't necessarily know about TED. TED Talks, so if you go to TED.com, TED Talks have been around for quite a while, but so the TED platform has been around for quite a while. In fact, I'm not exactly sure, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's been around 30 years. But very importantly, 10 years ago, so in fact, we're on our 10th anniversary, TED created this platform called TEDx. And these are events that are independently run TED events. And they're run under very, very strict guidelines and rules, and they're run under license. And so that's why there's now a TEDx London, a TEDx Brussels, the TEDx Luxembourg City. There's TEDxes all around the world. In fact, last year, if I'm not mistaken, there were over 3,000 TEDx events all around the world. So there really are a number of them.
And all of them have the same rules, the same 18 minutes. It doesn't matter if you are the king or a famous.
No, that's it. No exceptions.
18 minutes for one idea you want to spread.
That's it. If you're the king and you come onto a TED stage, you're just like every other TED speaker. You have 18 minutes. If you go longer, then you're cut off. So we don't allow anybody to go longer than 18 minutes. And in fact, the videos typically are only 18 minutes. So people come to do a TED talk because they want their videos to go online. If they go over 18 minutes, the videos don't go online. So of course, it's very, very strict. But there's a lot of coaching behind it as well. But the point I was trying to make is, you know, I'd suggest that probably about 90% of these TED Talk videos that you find online are in English. So, you know, if you're living in Luxembourg City, which is, you know, one of the issues that I had, and I was telling everybody about TED, a lot of people said, well, what is that? And of course, why would they know? Because, as I said, most TED Talks are in English. And of course, in Luxembourg City, the national language is Luxembourgish. And I don't believe there's ever been a TED talk in Luxembourgish, although I need to check that. And actually, if there hasn't, I think maybe I should do the first one. But also, they speak French there and they speak German there. So of those three languages, you know, there aren't that many TED talks available in those languages. So when I started telling people about TED, it's absolutely fair that there are a lot of people that don't know about it. Now, of course, if you go to England or if you go to the United States, everybody knows about TED Talks.
And in Poland, I know they do TED Talks in Polish. And
yes.
In Germany, I've been invited to a TED Talk and I'm doing it in English. So, yeah.
Well, and so there you go.
Some people not available because of the language.
That's right. And so, in fact, my daughter is, I'm very, very proud to say that my daughter was awarded a TEDx organizer license when she was 13.
Wow.
So exactly. She's one of the youngest organizers in the world. So I'm incredibly, but okay, it's one of those things. She sees her daddy so involved in TED and the TED platform. It was almost a way of creating family time while being involved in this thing that I'm so passionate about. So, but one of the learning experiences was we did her TEDx event in Belgium at her high school, and that was in Dutch. And it suddenly became really, really difficult to find sponsors. it became quite difficult to find speakers. And people that you would imagine that are very, very keen on doing talks actually didn't really know about it. So there were a lot of people out there that we approached and said, have you ever thought about doing a TED talk? And they would answer, what's TED? Now, I don't think I've ever experienced walking up to somebody that's English or English speaking natively and said to them, have you thought about doing a TED talk? And them saying, what's TED? Because it seems like, you know, the English speaking world all know what TED is.
Yeah, you don't get the knowledge in the school. That's very, very, the recent ideas and very, very innovative. So,
yeah, precisely. And it's funny because now that we did host the TED event at my daughter's school, now all the teachers are starting to use TED Talks in their classrooms. So not just the English teacher. Because there are some Dutch-speaking TEDx talks out there. So they've started using those in their classroom. So I've managed to spread the message even through a Dutch-speaking high school. So that's fabulous. Really cool.
Are there any TED talks you enjoyed the most or you had the biggest impact? Some of them you've heard or maybe even some guests you organized and you made it possible for them to share their ideas?
Oh, that's a crazy difficult question, Anna. Oh, my word. Okay, so let me handle that question.
It doesn't have to be only one. Maybe you name it.
Absolutely. That's fair. So, well, okay, let me tell you this. I was introduced to TED by a TED talk that almost everybody I know has seen, the Sir Kenneth Robinson talk about how education kills creativity. And I've got to tell you, I saw that talk and I thought, my word, that's just so relevant. But of course, you know, I saw this some 7 years ago and actually it was even 10 years prior to that. So that talk was given such a long time ago and yet it's still relevant today. You know, when you talk about the slow change in education, you know, traditional education and how things aren't moving quick enough. And then you watch Sir Kenneth Robinson talk about how creativity is being killed by the way that education is currently taught. And then you realize that, my word, nothing's changing. So everybody has seen this talk, it seems. You know, I think this is in the hundreds of millions of views on TED.com. And yet nothing's changing. So that one talk had such a huge impact on me. And of course, then I started watching it and, you know, it talks like Susan Cain's The Power of Silence. She spoke about the book that she wrote, which was really incredible. Ben Goldacre did a really good talk about bad science, which, of course, you know, that's so relevant today in these days when people are quoting fake news and they're quoting statistics that aren't necessarily stemming from anywhere. So there are a lot of really amazing talks out there that I'd certainly recommend. Now, your actual question was, which of the talks did I host that I loved most? And I've got to tell you, I think one of the things I love most about TED conferences and about organizing these events, whenever I go out into the audience and I say to the audience, I do this every time, you know, who was your favorite speaker? I always get a different answer. You know, I can be on stage and I can be watching from the background of the stage. And I can think, wow, that was such an amazing talk. And then I can see another one and think, yeah, that was okay. But no, I don't know. It wasn't that brilliant. Then I go out into the audience and I go and talk to them during the breaks. And inevitably, somebody will say that one that I didn't think was brilliant, that was their favorite. And I think that's one of the things. And that consistently happens. And that's one of the things that I love so much about the TED platform is that people respond to different TED Talks for different reasons, and they take it on board. So some of these TED Talks are so personal, they connect to people on such a personal level, that in fact, every TED Talk will impact some people in some way. And I think that's what's so impressive. And that's why I can tell you now, I will flat out refuse to answer that question. I cannot say that there was one speaker that I put on stage that I thought was better than the others, because I know
it's not about judging who was better, but maybe some a talk which had the most impact on you. It doesn't have to be which you organize. It could be. I remember, for example, one talk which you organized, and it was about somebody who survived the attack in Belgium. And I still remember the pictures he showed us. And I wouldn't say it was better or worse, but I wasn't in this situation, and it made me think.
Oh, I remember that one so well. It was a guy called Sebastian Bellin.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was a professional basketball player, and he was caught at the, in fact, he was about 10 meters away from one of the bombs that went off at the Brussels airport during the terrorist attacks. And one of the bullets that was inside this bomb went straight through his hip, and some shrapnel from the rest of the bomb, it didn't take his leg off, but it pretty much destroyed his leg. And so he was given the choice, do you want to amputate the leg or do you want to rebuild it? And he chose to rebuild his leg. But Anna, I've got to tell you, I've heard from this guy, he's doing, since that talk, he has now decided to do, and this is going to blow your mind, not a triathlon. This guy has now decided to do the Ironman competition.
Wow.
Right? Now
I've got goosebumps.
bear in mind, this guy could hardly walk. Well, he couldn't walk. They've rebuilt his leg from almost nothing. He has lots of metal in his leg. In fact, the last time I spoke to him, he said, well, of course I have to do the Ironman competition. I'm made out of metal. So, he said, there's more iron in my body than anybody else. Of course, I'm the guy that's going to do the Ironman competition. But wow. I mean, he was joking about it. But I said, Sebastian, that's crazy. And in fact, he's now doing a documentary following his training. And if anybody's interested, there's a website called Team Bellin. So Bellin. And that documentary is following him. And he's going all around the world training in different locations. And the goal is that in August 2020, he's going to do the Ironman competition in Hawaii. So the world's Ironman competition in Kona. So absolutely fabulous.
Yeah. I will remind myself of what you just told when I want to make an excuse when there is rain and I don't want to go for running because of a stupid rain. And Ironman. So it's very inspiring.
That's it. Yeah. And we all sit here talking about how we're too busy to exercise or how we have a headache to exercise. This guy, so when he swims, he has all this metal in his body. When he swims, bear in mind, he doesn't float like the rest of us. You know, he sinks. So he was, I've had a lot of conversations with him, and he's incredible. But, you know, he's just one of so many TED Talks that I've personally run, which I find to be incredible. I mean, at that same event, I don't know if you recall, there was a girl who was 16 years old, and she became a pop star in Belgium.
Oh, and, yeah, Emma.
Yeah, Emma Bale, exactly. And she was telling us, and she showed a little video, she was telling us on stage, you know, she actually entered a competition and she didn't necessarily win the competition. But what she did afterwards was, despite feeling completely dejected and rejected and, you know, felt like nobody wanted her, and she decided that she was going to contact one of the producers from Sony Records, and she contacted him directly and said, look, here's an example of my work. And they picked her up and they gave her a record contract. And she had, I don't know if you recall, but she had a video of her standing in front of 30,000 people at a festival.
It was an open air. It was amazing. And she's so young. And
she's 16. She was 16 years old. Wow, what were you doing, Anna, when you were 16?
I don't want to tell it in public.
I know when I was 16, I was probably like every other teenage boy and looking for every excuse not to do what I was told by my mom. So, you know, and here...
Yeah, I was very rebellious. People. That's why I moved from Poland to Germany, because I didn't follow the rules which my parents put on me.
Oh, that's true. You're the you're the proper rebel, aren't you? I remember the story, Anna.
Okay, coming back to the TED Talk, you told us in the beginning that was one of the first TED Talks you were watching about the education system. As you were in so many different countries and also teaching, have you realized that there are differences in the education system and how it impacts how the children think in the adult maybe life and how they act?
Oh, yeah. I like to think of myself as being super lucky. My wife has a different opinion about it, but I never really spent more than 3 years in one country while I was growing up. So, you know, I was born in Germany, then went to France, then the UK, then the US, and back to the UK. Then I went to Brazil, went back to university in the UK, then went back to Brazil. And, you know, everywhere, every country I went to, I used to go to English-speaking schools because it was always easier to find English-speaking schools than it was Dutch-speaking schools. So, but of course, English-speaking schools, that doesn't mean English schools. So when I lived in Brazil, I went to an American school, for instance. And, you know, I went through so many different systems that I was really lucky. But looking back at the time, I thought it was pretty rough, right? I'll give you an example of the difference in education style. You know, we very often think of Americans as being quite loud and, you know, not being afraid to talk. So here I was, you know, I'd gone to school in the UK, and in the British education system at high school, a teacher comes into the classroom, you have to stand for the teacher. And then when they say that we can sit down, we sit down. We're wearing school uniforms. I went to an old boys school. It was very, very tough. It was a really tough system. And you never discuss with the teacher, you know, or let's say you never argue with the teacher. You listen and you do what you're told. So then I went to this American school in Brazil, and I was 12 years old, and I'm sitting in the class, and our maths teacher, he's looking at everybody, and it's the first day of class in our seventh grade. And he said, right, guys, everybody, for homework tonight, and this needs to be done by tomorrow, I want you all to do the exercises at the end of chapter one. And, you know, while you're at it, we haven't covered chapter two yet, but go ahead and do the exercises in chapter two. And then you heard the classroom just kind of grumble a little bit. And then he said, actually, you know, if you're going to do at chapter one and two, go ahead and do the exercises at the end of chapter three, and that'll prepare us for next week. And then in class, you know, people are like, what's going on? This guy's nuts. But nobody really said very much. And he said, you know what, if you're going to do it anyway, just go ahead and do all four first chapters. So just do all the exercises. And one kid in the back of the room said, oh, that's ridiculous. Manny, he got his stuff and he walked out. So of course, being the good British educated schoolboy that I was, I went home. I spent 3 hours doing all these exercises, and bear in mind, we hadn't covered some of this stuff, so I didn't know some of this stuff. So I was kind of teaching myself these chapters in order to do the exercises. I went into the school the next day. The teacher says, who did the homework? So of course, I put my hand up, but between me and one other girl in the class, we were the only ones that did it. And so he turns to us and he said, why did you do it? That's so ridiculous. He said, how much time did it take you? And I said, so I was so confused. I said to the guy, well, it took me about three hours. He said, man, you have nothing better to do on a school night than do maths homework. I said, but you told us to do it. I said, okay, what if I tell you to jump out the window? You're going to do that as well just because I'm a teacher and I tell you to do something? I said, that's crazy. No, that's so unfair. And of course, at this time, everybody else in the classroom is laughing and pointing at me. And of course, I've only been in this school for a couple of days and I feel so humiliated. And then he said, right, everybody else sit down. Who didn't do the homework? And everybody else proudly puts their hands in the air and say, oh, we didn't do our homework. He said, right, all of you guys get a zero. And they were like, oh, but wait, what are you talking about? That's not fair. Why do you give us a zero? He said, why did none of you come up to me after class and say to me, hey, Mr. Hansen, it's not fair that we have to do all of this work. Why didn't any of you come and talk to me about it? And I sat there, and I tell you, that is a lesson that I learned that I will never forget. I won't forget the emotions that I went through. I won't forget the feelings. It was shocking. But of course, his point is so valid. And it's actually a point I've tried to make for a lot of students in my classes, which is don't just believe something because a teacher says so. Don't just do something because a teacher says so. You've got to question everything. And if that means putting your hand up and looking on it, feeling uncomfortable and looking uncomfortable, so what? Teach it anyway.
Yeah, so it lends to
ask it anyway.
We should use our own head, and if we don't like something, just to discuss and negotiate. And it's a lesson for life.
That's it. But I've learned that's a pretty typical thing in an American education system. But so, of course, that's the American education system.
Morgen geht es weiter im Gespräch mit Dirk Dien.